Welcome to Piercing the Veil, a show for truth seekers and rebels. Join us every week as we obliterate willful ignorance, corruption, globalist agendas, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central and listen carefully as we provide crucial solutions, information awareness, and unique life hacks to improve our planet. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself. All right, welcome back, world, to another episode of Piercing the Veil. Today is December 11th, another beautiful Sunday here in Texas. We've got about 65 degrees, beautiful sunniness outside, a really nice break from all the shitty chemtrailing and geoengineered climate change weather and all that crap. Corey, how are you feeling today over there in Arizona?
Pretty well, thanks. It does get winter in the desert. But we've been having some nice 70 degree days, and it's beautiful out here, man. The sunsets for the last week have been astounding, and without any obvious assist from man-made atmospheric
pollution. Well, that's good. And last week we did an epic show, 2-hour episode about Standing Rock, what was going on with that. As we were doing the show, it was funny when we didn't get a chance to say this on air, but right afterwards, President Obama, obviously it was just a political move, or somebody said, we're not going to allow the Army Corps of Engineers to allow this permit. And basically everybody's like, oh, yeah, we won, yada. And then the company in Dallas came right around with a statement that said basically, we're not going to reroute this. We're just going to continue on with our plans. It's essentially what they were saying. Now, if that plays out that way, it remains to be seen. But I do believe that a strong presence needs to be necessary up there at Standing Rock. So that was an epic show. How are you feeling after that last week?
It was our first 2-hour show, which I've been pining for in a way, because 1 hour just doesn't quite seem enough. But in terms of the subject matter, I came away pretty encouraged, man, at how when people step up and make some noise and let people know and put their bodies on the line and fight for what they believe in, the people affect policy, man. There's still something to that.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Well, that's good. Today we have a special guest, Corey. It's Johnny Delirious. You may recognize him. He's been on our show about 2 or 3 times already, I believe. Give a brief recap. Johnny is a multi-talented individual. He's really into the living your life consciously and health and wellness aspects nowadays. Back in his day, he had some experiences that he talked about on our previous episodes regarding being abducted by a joint military and alien craft or program, if you will, and taken all the way into a ship and then over to the other side of the moon where there was a base there. And he was able to tap into some alien knowledge or database, or he calls it the Resourcery Archive, where he's able to assimilate any type of knowledge through a query, basically just asking, hey, what is this about? And all these images rush in and stuff like that. So if you want to learn more about that, you can listen to our past episodes, and we will speak a little bit about that experience here today. I kind of want to just let Johnny run with it a little bit, and we'll go down in some structured format and let him talk about what he's doing now, what he his experiences, what he went through with the things that I'm describing to you. And then also he's going to talk a little bit about his logic and reasoning and emotional intelligence, some of these musings that I've seen of his writing recently. So he's going to talk about what he's been writing. So with no further ado, I'm going to welcome Johnny. Johnny Delirious, welcome to the show, brother. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jordan. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited about, just like Corey was talking about, the human spirit is still alive.
Excellent. Right. Well, we know you're a big name around here and reoccurring guest, but some of our listeners may not have heard of you before. If you could, Johnny, could you give us just a brief recap of what you have done, what you're about, and what you're doing today?
Sure. I'm a laboratory naturopathic doctor. I ran a laboratory during the 80s. We did testing on hair, urine, and water. And most of that was for medical doctors, or on the water part is for the Dallas County Schools or the U.S. Navy testing all their water fountains. But I got sick with hepatitis. How and when I got it then, that was hepatitis C. I'm not sure, but I was excited about the laboratory business because I really figured out that it all boils down to mineral balance within our bodies. And that's what creates the best possible scenario for you to experience, whether it's this world or other states of being or whatever. If you have a good mineral balance in your body, then you won't get sick. It doesn't matter what the age. It all matters about mineral balance. So I discovered that in the lab, and that's what they did, is get people back in balance with minerals. And but the problem was I didn't realize my Hep C that I had, that I didn't know I had, was killing me. And I was drinking coffee till the point where every time I drink a cup of coffee first thing in the morning, my stomach would just, I'd double over because the ulcers are so bad. So the coffee wasn't working, but I was excited about the lab business and developed new protocols and everything. Started doing cocaine, you know, and had an alien abduction experience. It was joint military. The UFO people get upset with me because I tell them, hey, I got along better with the Grays than I did with the military. And that really bothers the UFO. It's like every community that's categorized in our culture, whether it's the medical, whether it's the UFO community, whether it's naturopathy, everybody has to stick to the dialogue. And if you don't stick to the dialogue and you're outside of the box slightly, it bothers them. You shut up. They took my baby. I'm tired of hearing you say you like the Grays more than the military. Get out of here. Oh. So it was like, I upset the UFO community. I upset, you know, because I got over my cocaine habit. Okay, that's a long story. But basically, I said, hey, you know, it's all about attaining a mineral balance, and it's not a disease. And, you know, once you realize that, you know, doing cocaine or alcohol, whatever it is, it's like a ritual, a satanic ritual, then it makes it real easy. Oh, I don't need to do this anymore. Because there's always a ritual with whatever, you know, whatever mood-altering substance we use. So I didn't make it with the, you know, drug treatment community. So
yeah, that's right. And finally, it's either something that's been set up through society, or it's a ritual of your own choosing, like with ayahuasca or cannabis ceremony or whatever. But it, if you're unaware of it, you're absolutely right, Johnny. It's just contributing to nasty nastiness.
That is the key. If you're unaware of it, it's just like fasting can be healthy. If you are aware and you have a positive frame of mind, you have a whole protocol that you're going by. But if you run out of food, oh my God, you get into fear. Oh, you know, you'll starve to death. But on the other hand, if it's a programmed set up thing that, oh, I'm just going to not eat for a few days and I'm going to be healthy and blah blah blah, it'd be good for you. So I realized a number of things that. When I finally, and my father was a medical doctor, okay, so just to let everybody know, I know that side of it too. And when I started talking about the hair analysis that we did in the lab, that was really crucial for my breakthrough, not only with understanding the alien agenda and what was going on with our country, but also understanding what kind of programming and entrainment that has been done to us since the Nazis took over our industrial military complex. I'll just say it, okay? That's what one of the things I discovered from the what I call the Resourcery Archive. The crash.
Yeah, Johnny. Everybody talks about. I got to break in here. Everybody talks about the Project Paperclip and all of the Nazi genocide scientists and all these icky people we brought over, and now. You know, we gave them immunities, and yeah, we did. A lot of high-level people, over 100 people came over here to help us And even defectors, like during the war, before it was over, defectors came over and helped Einstein and everybody else with the nuclear bomb over in New Mexico. But the point is, that's just one tiny aspect of it. The Nazis weren't just infiltrating the U.S. government. They're infiltrating the world governments and the infrastructure and using advanced alien technology to do so. And that's something you got firsthand knowledge of on your experience.
Well,
correct?
Exactly, because by 1952, basically it was set. Because you can run, like I was telling you earlier, you can run a Google search, 1952, July, Washington, D.C., UFOs. Just, you know, 1952, UFOs, Washington, D.C., blah, blah, blah. And all these UFO buzzed the Capitol building for over a week. Well, six days and nights, not just one, not two, but squadrons of UFOs. And every time they scrambled jets, the UFOs would disappear. But then, you know, a few hours later, they come back. And then they appear at midnight. And then they just... So the mess, basically, the message was clear when Admiral Byrd and everybody did their invasion, what they called the second D-Day, earlier that year. They lost a lot of men and some ships in that Antarctica invasion. They called it the second D-Day because during the Roswell crash, there were some humans on board, not just aliens, but they were wearing Nazi uniforms. So word got around the military, oh, my God, we got to get rid of these Nazis. Oh, my God, you know. But then after 1952, when all those Nazi UFOs buzzed the Capitol in Washington, D.C., the message was clear. Hey, you know, we can take out any city anytime we want. So you
That's
guys
right.
better toe the line. And so Werner von Braun and all those guys
right.
in Operation Paperclip said, hey, look, we'll give you this new technology. You just have to give us more leeway. And so basically right. at that point, they took over. And, of course, the Cold War started. And, you know, the Soviets hate the Nazis. I mean, with a passion, because the Nazis killed over 25 million of them. That's a conservative estimate
yeah,
on the front
line. Absolutely.
Lines.
And what's happening here is basically they exchanged the technology for political, social, and global governance influence. So while they were being publicly
absolutely.
Demonized and destroyed after World War II economically, they were building a secret infrastructure. And this is a lot of stuff that you talk about in your books. And so, Johnny, basically, you're doing this health and wellness and mineral analysis for people and showing them where they're off balance and any danger zones and stuff like that. You also have a huge resource or basically knowledge base, if you will, from your experiences with the Resourcery Archive. So let's get a little bit into space, if we can. We've talked about some of this in our previous shows. But can you recap anything that stood out for you? First of all, I want to say this. There's a lot of people I get into arguments with online regarding this flat Earth stuff. And I have seen just so much evidence personally. People taking YouTube videos from the Virgin flights when they go in the high altitude. All sorts of stuff that shows that everything is spherical for the most part. And so can we just, whether they believe you or not, I believe you, your story is credible, lots of other people believe you, that you were taken and taken to the other side of the moon, but on your travels there, you were able to see the Earth. So can you just clear that up for people, our listeners right now? Is the Earth flat around?
It is a sphere, and a lot of the astronauts, Buzz Aldrin and, you know, all the rest of them, Neil Armstrong, they call it the blue marble, you know? Because it is a sphere, and I think the flat Earth thing was just kind of a test balloon, a trial balloon, just to see what people were going to believe what. And so they're doing those things all the time to work on their disinformation sociological programming, which was originally developed by the Nazis, see? So that,
right.
you know, that's how we're shaped and formed and, you know, put in line, and of course, right now we're out of line. Oh my God! Because you know Trump wasn't supposed to win, and all this, whether you like him or not, they didn't want him to win, and now
That's
they're
right.
coming unglued. So
now can you talk? I just want to jump back to. I'm sorry to break in here. Can you talk a little bit about anything that stood out to you during your travel, like the actual when you were awake after they? I guess they put you in some sort of light tractor beam while you're in your house. You described this in a previous show. Took you up to the ship. you're sort of unconscious for a certain period of time that you can't name, and then you were awake, you got off the table, you saw some people, something like that, and you noticed
right.
that you were traveling.
What
are some things that stood out to you as far as like any objects in space or technology or satellites that you saw or the rate of speed? Any of these details I think our listeners really want to know about, if you could please
sure.
do that.
Sure. Well, I was outside the cockpit, so to speak. That's about the only word I can think of, because they were inside, you know, at the controls. They obviously had gravity of some kind in there, but I was outside of that. So I felt like, you know, our craft was mostly round, but if I were to think about it, it was kind of a rounded triangular shape. But I floated around on the outside. So think of it as a donut. They're in the center of the donut, you know, and I'm on the outside. And I'm floating around in there, and I'm looking inside. There are two compartments, one where two gray aliens were sitting, you know, at what I consider the controls, because they had a console in front of them. There were no instruments, but they, in their chairs, they had on the armrest, they had where they put their hands. And at different times, I'd see holograms appear in front of them. And so these holograms would change and do things, and then they disappear again. So apparently this was kind of like a gauge or a view of where and what they're doing or whatever. But they were running the ship from their hands. And mind you, their hands only had four fingers, okay?
So is it safe to assume that somehow they're transmitting their thoughts through electrical impulses and signals, which are picked up through their fingertips or their hands, which is activating a hologram that's based on some sort of console that works with the user mind interface? I mean, that seems to be what's happening to me, just from what you're describing.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because a lot of times, you know, like when now they have blood pressure where you can stick your finger in a little holster and take your blood pressure, or, you know what I mean? So whether it's thermal, whether it's electrical, whether it's however it's picked up, they were interfacing with the ship's controls. And what I realized through the Resourcery Archive is that their computer systems were organic. They, you know, like, for example, a molecule of DNA can hold just thousands of terabytes of information, you know. It's just, that's the way it is, because as we go through experience, each and every second of our experience, that DNA double helix is constantly turning, and it's keep making new amino acid molecules up and down that double helix, except it spirals up and it keeps making it at the bottom. And so I figured that, you know, from the Resourcery Archive, that their computer is such a crude word, but their knowledge-based system is tied in with their brains in an organic database of some kind. That's constantly being updated.
Okay, good. Yeah, so it's basically a combination of their hive mind consciousness integrated with an organic computer that has a database based on past experiences or input. And we talked about this in a past show. So
yeah,
is it safe to say
part of that interface is not exactly by wire. It's by, you know, telepathic kind of interface, or ESP, or however you want to put that. But it's a mental cognition connection there, true. And it gets very esoterical, but that's what I figured out, because I was able to tap into that. Because here's the other part that bugs everybody, is they let me do coke. I mean, I had a lot of cocaine with me. I just scored that night.
And just to recap, because I want to get into the health and wellness, I apologize, but just to recap, you were actually being studied and taken for that reason, because you were a very high-level functioning person who was using cocaine regularly, and they wanted to the alpha waves or the brain state that you were exhibiting in that altered state, if you will, was directly mimicking what they were trying to study for their pilots to be able to pilot these craft. Is that correct? Is that what we came up with last time?
That is absolutely correct, because they were trying to figure out how I could maintain running a laboratory, doing cocaine all the time, and then come up, you know, with new ideas like I was doing with the protocols in the lab and everything. So, but at that same point, so basically one of the soldiers, I heard him say, you know, he saw me snorting coke, and I just kind of looked at him, and he just looked at me with this nasty look and said something really bad. But then he didn't do anything. It's like, hey, I'm going to kick your butt and blah, blah, blah. But then he doesn't do anything. And I said, so you don't mind if I do cocaine? He said, my orders are, and I'm not going to say the derogatory or inflammatory language he used, but he just said, basically, my orders are let you do whatever you want.
So, okay, so part of experience there.
And they had an implant in me, too, so they're studying my brainwaves during this whole time, and I think they were monitoring everything that was going on in my brain while I was going through the ship. By the time I got to the mothership, I had a Band-Aid on my index finger, and that implant, I could hear it hum. So I know that it was transmitting whatever they were picking up was from my brain. So they were trying to get...
It makes sense they would want to have like instant biofeedback to monitor your fluctuations over a long period of time, because that's what these scientists on these black budget programs are doing. They're just using scientific method to discover secrets about alien and higher advanced technology. And so obviously if they want to use you for the purpose that we described, which is teaching their pilots how to fly these craft under these extreme states for long periods of time, then they're going to want to have a monitor feed on you all the time. So I totally believe that. I think it's absolutely not only probable but plausible that happened, and as certainty as well. So that's all stuff that our listeners can really drill down into by listening to a past show. But I want to get into your new stuff, Johnny, because we do only have an hour for this episode. You're really focused on the health and wellness. We always discuss here on the show how health really starts with the state of mind, your perception, and the soul. And that's exactly what you started off with. So it seems that we're in agreement there. And then it sort of trickles down to the mineral balance of the physical domain. And then also the mineral balance has an effect on your energetics as well. So it's a two-way street. So can you tell us what's the most common imbalances that you see and different types of uh-oh situations that you've encountered during your time as a mineral analyst, if you will?
Okay. In a nutshell, people fall into two categories. They're either a sympathetic dominant, which is a fast metabolizer, and those are usually type A personalities, ultra, you know, high, strong, and innovators. It could be Attila the Hun, or it could be the Wright brothers, you know. It could go either way, positive or negative, but they're driven. And so those are sympathetic dominant. And then there's the parasympathetic dominant. And that's where over 85 or 90% of the population fall into. And they're the slow metabolizers. Now, it wasn't always like that. Back when I ran the lab, predominantly the Americans fell about 70 to 75% were parasympathetic dominant or slow metabolizers, which has an abundance of three elements for the most part, carbon, calcium, and sodium, you know, because of our standard American diet. And I'm convinced that because of our standard American diet, it's a program method to get everybody in a slower state of consciousness, slower metabolism. Now it's over 90% of the American population are slow metabolizers. So therefore, even though the calcium is too high, their bones are getting brittle. And people, you know, so they put out on the mainstream, slime stream media, and the, you know, the dialogue is, oh, you need more calcium. You've got brittle bones.
Milk and dairy.
That is that's the worst thing they can do, because 90% of the population have too much calcium. The fact that they have all that calcium, it's not allowing phosphorus, iron, magnesium, and potassium to be absorbed. So you get brittle bones from not having those minerals either.
But so you what you're talking about is the one mineral, the abundance of one mineral can lock out another, just like mineral salts in plants and growing and balancing your pH and stuff like that. It's the same thing in the human body. So a lot of people are being poisoned on a daily basis. We know about the GMOs. We know about the chemtrails. We know about water now. And I just want to speak real quick to my experience with you, and then I'll let Corey ask his questions and talk about some of his stuff that he might have for you. But I just want to acknowledge you, Johnny, on the air in front of everybody for saving my life, literally saving my life. It's interesting how the most conscious of us or vocal of us or the most passionate of us in this planet or in this community, if you will, how we can be so poisoned in our body and so sick in our body. But our consciousness is so high vibe that it's really just propping the vessel up, literally just overcoming those things for the most part. However, there's always an underlying tax, and you know, you can keep it going, but you're using up so much mental energy and energetics to constantly repair your body. And in fact, I believe I'm having nightly healings. You know, that's why I don't remember my dreams, because I'm off doing stuff and meeting with other entities and groups that are my friends and partners. And I believe I'm actually being healed, because what we found when we did my hair mineral analysis was that my arsenic levels, and I still haven't seen this, but I think you said it was something like the cutoff level for dangerous is 0.08 or 0.8, and I was at, or 0.8, I believe, and I was at like 1.3 or so off the chart.
Well, the chart only goes up to 0.07. Okay. And your amount is 0.146.
Oh my God, that's hundreds of times.
That's very high. And and the sample I took was like over, you know, it's a long piece of hair. One like right next to your skin, and just testing that, which would show what it's much higher than this test shows. So basically, in a nutshell, if you haven't done anything, nothing changed, February, March, when you get tired and you go to sleep and want to rest all the time, you probably will not at this present rate wake up if it's February or March of 2017, period.
I really appreciate that, man. We're almost a couple months away. Whether or not I'm being intentionally poisoned, I don't think that's the case. What I believe is that 5 months ago, I started feeling really tired and fatigued all the time. I'm a really high energy individual, and I operate, you know, with high level contracts and work products and all sorts of things that I have to use my brain for constantly. And I've been sleeping 16-hour days sometimes on most days of the week for this past 5 or 6 months, trying to recover from something I didn't know what was going on. And it turns out, Johnny, that the fracking location opened up right next to our house, and we're drinking well water. And what is produced from fracking, from all the rust and things being disturbed? High levels of arsenic that gets mixed with the water. I looked up the study after we got off the phone couple days ago, and exactly everything that's happening to me is a result that has been shown. Guess what? By the University of Texas at Arlington. So a independent study in my own city where this is happening to me confirmed the fact that that is what's producing the arsenic. I drink water more than anything else that I put in my body. I always drink this filtered water here. And apparently the arsenic's not getting filtered out, because I've been just poisoning myself, or being poisoned, if you will, by these fracking companies.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Thank you. I mean, after all that, we got into a lot of information, but thank you. Like, seriously, I don't know how else to say it. Thanks. Because I was not aware that it was so serious, because of the level of my operation and me always being positive about my health and always thinking that I can overcome whatever. There are certain things, people, that energy and vibration and consciousness can't really overcome, because it's so stuck. It's like an energetic physical blockage that's just manifest there. And that shows up in the mineral imbalance.
I would like to interject just a little bit of chemistry and make it kind of clear, you know.
Please do.
Arsenic is, as all heavy metals, where it's cadmium, aluminum, lead, mercury, whatever, arsenic is another one. What heavy metals do is they prevent many of our valuable elements that we really need from being absorbed into our tissues, and so we can utilize them. Arsenic has a specialty of eliminating iron absorption and selenium absorption. So basically, with arsenic levels this high, you're getting very little iron. So with very little iron, you have very weak hemoglobin. And so with weak hemoglobin, you're not getting very much oxygen, okay, into your body. So once the arsenic keeps going up, the less iron, less hemoglobin, and boom, that's how you die. You don't get oxygen into your cells. That's right. The bottom line.
And this is how people used to poison others back in the day, is with arsenic. They would give them little doses until it produced organ failure or death.
And here's the caveat. I got to say this, because small doses, just little bits at a time, you know, a good source of arsenic is rat poison or pesticide or whatever, you know, herbicide. Roundup. Okay.
Oh, man.
Okay. So you can give a little bit each day to somebody. It's not going to show up really in their urine when it's just a little bit, but it builds up in the body. See, heavy metals will build up in the body, whether it's lead, whether it's mercury, you know, arsenic. It's a heavy metal. So the only way to really tell about arsenic is to do a hair analysis. And the powers that be, whether they call it the American Medical Association, the pharmaceutical, insurance, whatever, they were trying to much hair analysis out of the picture, saying, oh, it's a bunch of poppycock, this and that. But, you know, out of the blue, I couldn't believe it, the court saved us, because the court said, hey, you ask any criminal lawyer, and they say, look, you know, a hair, you know, arsenic will not show up in hair or urine or blood, but it will show up in hair. Hair does not lie. So hair shows everything. It does not lie.
Well, and that's why your hair mineral analysis is so important, because it shows the true state of what's happening in your body and certain elements that you might want to detox from, certain elements that you might want to build up on if they're essential minerals. And, of course, obviously there's a procedure to that. I've got to rebalance my mineral state. And that will help me achieve the detox in addition to other things that I'm doing. So that's a solution for people, is to get in contact or touch with you about how they can find a custom balanced mineral supplement and things like that. Can you go ahead and can you just drop those links or wherever people can find you to talk to you about that? And then I want to have Corey come in, because he's been just listening so far. I want to have him ask a few questions after hearing that.
Yeah, I do email really well, and I make it real easy for people. I'll say it twice, and you know, but it's real easy. It's jdelirious5911@yahoo.com. That's jdelirious5911@yahoo.com. So it's jdelirious5911@yahoo.com. So jdelirious5911@yahoo.com. That's the
Excellent.
Best way to get a hold of me.
Perfect. And thank you for that, Johnny. And Corey, what do you think about all this stuff? And have you had any experiences similar to this in your life? Or what are your thoughts, basically?
Well, you know, I would be interested in doing a hair analysis myself in the area that I live in. There's two things. I think there's a naturally high levels of arsenic in the water. And then a little further north from me, so I don't think that would be affecting me directly or people in this area. There's a huge mine. So a lot of mining operations been there for decades, probably started in the 60s. And so, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff, high levels of various metals and things in the water a bit further north from here, including arsenic, which I believe in some cases they use in leaching out some of the metals from the soil or what have you. Mm-hmm. So I'd be interested in participating, just out of curiosity. I mean, I moved here about 5 years ago, and I had like 3 gray hairs in my beard, and now I've gone like significantly gray in 4 years. That may or may not be normal or what have you, but it's one thing that I'd be definitely interested in. I know it's very important for people who are dealing with health issues generally. I don't have any obvious ones to speak of, but, you know, if people are feeling fatigued or if there's, you know, stuff that they can't really pinpoint that's going on, you know, hair analysis, blood analysis, and so forth, I think it's really important to be able to, and it doesn't happen when you just go into the doctor to get a checkup. They do, as far as I understand, they do very cursory stuff. They don't tell you the levels of metals in your bodies, of minerals and so forth. That's necessary for all kinds of functions in the body. So my understanding is that if you want to have good health, it's good to have a good diet, consume healthy food, organics, and so forth. But I would imagine that it's probably really good to get a baseline analysis of what's really going on in the system to start with.
Absolutely. Find problems before they get fatal, like what happened for me through, you know, Johnny. I got to tell you, man, I'm so busy all the time with different things, and sometimes it's hard to get a hold of me, but you were so persistent in asking for that hair test, and I know it was for a reason, so I got to thank you again. I appreciate that. And thank you, Corey, for your perspective, and it seems like you definitely may want to get a test as well and see what's going on. So like you said, so you can establish a baseline, because I've been eating very, very healthy. I've gone vegan for the past 5-6 months. And, you know, it's amazing that even with this lethargy and fatigue and arsenic poisoning, that I still feel somewhat energetic throughout the day when I'm awake and things like that. And I don't feel too foggy brain. There's a little bit of that sometimes. But I think that the diet and the water has a really big role, but also knowing where you stand and taking action to actually correct it is important. And that's where Johnny's hair mineral analysis tests come in. And basically, the supplements they provide are tailor-made to each, or uniquely to each individual, to rebalance
based
the minerals.
Based on the test.
Based on the test, exactly.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Okay, so let's move into application, you know, living a healthy life, being emotionally balanced. So we've talked about some physical health things. We talked about your space stuff, Johnny, which our radio listeners can go back into your previous shows and get more details. Let's talk about some of the things you're doing. I got a chance or the honor to read some of your latest writing in your, I guess we would call them publications or memoirs or something. And you're really on the same level, along the same wavelengths as Corey and myself with some of our beliefs regarding perception and how perception is really key to, it's the key to life, essentially, because you can look at something 2 different ways, and one of those ways will produce an easy, fast, or acceptable result, and the other way will produce conflict, resistance, friction, and strife. So essentially, the choice is very clear to me. If you can let the ego out of the way and not be emotionally attached or upset for any particular circumstance in your life, no matter how bad it's viewed socially by other people, if you can get out of that zone and just look at it as a neutral observer, Corey and I talked about this, but through perception, then your life will just be an easy roller coaster, not a roller coaster, but an easy ride, you know, like the lazy river, and you'll be abundant because you're attracting what is easily attracted, which is your abundance mindset. Everything is a blessing. Everything is an asset. Nothing is a detriment to my life. So just setting that stage there, can you go ahead and go into some of your writings or some of your beliefs or thoughts or any of these things, theories that you have, and we can just bounce off each other a little bit for the last part of the show.
Okay, did you read Johnny's takeaways?
I don't have them in front of me, but I did read them, and that's where I'm actually pulling this setup here.
Right, that's basically what I said. Wow, he read Johnny's takeaways. Fantastic. Well, one of the takeaways I call dumbed down robot versus self-determination. And then the little subtitle to that takeaway is boredom is a gift, right? So, you know, the advertisers in the mainstream want you to be a dumbed down robot because then you'll buy all their products and take all their drugs and eat all their food. And basically, you'll be so compliant that you will be a robot. You know, you will be a robot because, oh, just whatever you say is what I'm going to do. I love you, blah, blah, blah. But if you want to set out on a course to, you know, for lack of a better expression, you know, be the best you can be, you know, and I mean that, and, you know, like Bruce Lee, one of my greatest mentors, I just admired him so much because most people don't understand. He taught some of the secret Shaolin methods in the early 60s in San Francisco, and the Chinese didn't like that. So in one challenge, they took him out and blah, blah, blah. He's in the hospital for like, you know, 18 months or whatever. But he finally healed himself. And in that time, it was with his mind. He had to. And then he got back. This was before Enter the Dragon and all the movies he made. They thought he was going to die.
Hey, so, Johnny, thank you for bringing that up. I want to touch into that because I'm a huge, huge Bruce Lee fan. I identify with his philosophy and his life. So basically, he was paralyzed. He was doing morning glories, which is basically where you have a barbell and you bend over and you bow basically and grab the bar and then you just straighten your back. They're called morning glories. And he didn't stretch first. And after that, he always had a huge stretching program. But he basically blew his back out. He was never going to walk again. They thought he was almost, you know, he's probably going to have some serious issues. And he recovered completely. And then he was teaching all this philosophy that he learned from his self-healing and that he had already been taught from his Wing Chun. Ip Man was his teacher. And so basically what happened, Johnny, and I know you know about this, we'll talk a little bit about it, but he challenged the established principles of non-disclosure for the Chinese elders by freely giving away the secrets behind the different styles of martial arts. And he essentially made every style meaningless. And each style in China, when it comes to Kung Fu, is like a revered asset. It's like a family piece of property. It's a intellectual property, if you will. And so what he did was he essentially destroyed the fortunes or the money-making abilities of all these entrenched families. And they challenged him to a bunch of fights, which he won. But I believe that they either did Dim Mok, which is death touch, where you can produce a death result or sickness in the person's body by blocking the chi, and it doesn't show up for weeks at a time. Or here's something that people don't know. Bruce Lee was an avid proponent of cannabis and user of cannabis. He used cannabis spiritually to help him with his philosophies and also to increase his blood flow when he was working out. He used it as a pre-workout. Most people don't realize that is one of the things I love him for. They believe that he could have been poisoned through his cannabis slowly and, you know, maybe with arsenic. The old ones are always the best ones, right? So I just wanted to drop that whole line in there, and I'll let you get back to what you're talking about. I apologize for taking that away, but I wanted people to know that about Bruce Lee, and I think you're on the same tack.
Sure. When I was going through my recovery, he was one of my greatest inspirations because he said the body follows the mind. And, you know, one of the things to get the mind right is to be right in spirit. So if you put out an intention that you want to be this divine, you know, glowing spiritual light being, you know, that sets it up in spirit. If you set that intention out into the ethers, what I call, you know, the masters of the universe. And then when all of a sudden you start believing it in your mind, then your body will follow. Just like Muhammad Ali said, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. I could dance like a butterfly, sting like a bee, and win everything. So he believed it in his mind so much that he became the champion he did. So again, you're going to be a dumbed-down robot, or are you going to have self-determination to make you a better, more divine light being? So
that's right.
Bruce Lee said, you know, the body follows the mind, and if your mind is smooth like the lake, this is very Shaolin, if it's smooth like the lake, it will reflect the trees and the stars of the universe, and you'll always win the fight. But you have to be happy while you're doing it. And the only way you can keep your mind smooth like the lake is to be happy in your mind. If you're happy
it is like
in your
a
mind,
finger pointing to the moon. Don't focus on the finger.
if you're happy in your mind, you'll always win the fight. He said you might lose the battle, but you always win the fight of life. And, you know, so he had that determination of, you know, if you lost the fight, it's because of a technique that you didn't know accurately, and then that pointed out what you needed to study.
So, that's right, and again, he was a big fan. He studied professional athletes and made very good connections, and what he found was this kinesiology thought training that these athletes were doing. They were imagining jumping the hurdle in every single possibility, in every single way, in every single leg position, in every single situation. They imagined over and over and over jumping the hurdle, jumping the hurdle, jumping the hurdle, or running the race, running the race, running the race, or shooting the ball, right? And his take on that was to fight in your mind and always, okay, he punched me in the face because I didn't block in time, so this time I'll block. And then he kicks me in my nuts because I didn't have my stance proper and I was open and too square. You know what I mean? So he was actually doing this, these mind experiments over and over and over, and then he would develop his own moves based on what move was most kinetically or kinesiologically efficient, meaning the body-mind connection was able to flow through proper bone alignment, which Tai Chi is real big on, is proper bone alignment and structure and stance. Mm-hmm. And using the proper stance as an expression of power, because he was saying when you don't stand properly or don't distribute weight properly, you're cutting 70% of your power. So we can go into that all day, and I sorry we got off on a tangent there, but what are your other takeaways, Johnny? Give us another one. That was an excellent one.
Yeah, okay. So
don't be a robot, you know, dumbed-down robot.
Dumbed-down robot versus self-determination to be the best you can be or more divine being. So if you're not a dumbed-down robot and you just look and question everything and do your research, you will probably, with self-determination, be a divine spiritual being of light, which is the best place to be. So one of the things that's going to keep you a dumbed-down robot is today's convenience. One of the strangest things I heard is like they want to make a car that drives itself. And Bloomberg and all these people are trying to push, hey, I don't want a computerized car, you know? What if it's beta tested, you know, and it crashes into a curb, into a guardrail or something? I would rather have a stick shift car, drive it myself, and end the story. And so, but they say, oh, it's a smart car. Oh, it's a smart house. So is it today's convenience or is it yesterday's wisdom? So that's one of my takeaways. Today's convenience versus yesterday's wisdom. I choose yesterday's wisdom because that's one of the subtitles of my whole program is yesterday's wisdom is today's modern health secret. And
that's right.
That's what most people don't understand. My grandmother, the way she did her garden, they would call it permaculture and organic today. You know, she didn't use chemicals. And,
but that was geared to produce organic, natural, absorbable minerals in perfectly synced content values. And so growing organically and with permaculture to where the plants exchange electrical signals and compounds and food and chemicals and minerals, they exchange them in a balanced manner because they're all supporting each other. That support, that physical support, comes with the transfer of minerals. And so by supporting your plants and having them grow in the best way they can, they're thereby containing the most balanced nutrients that you can get for your body. And because your body lives in the same local environment as those plants or those natural occurring weeds or whatever, those are the best medicines for your body and best foods. And that's exactly what you're saying.
She praised the bugs. She goes, who cares for a few bugs? They're for us too. We all get along. That's what she said. And so I'm taking people from, you know, I'm assuming that some people in your audience want to be a divine light being. Okay, that's my assumption. So I'm
that
trying to get
that constitutes my whole audience for them. If people didn't want that, they probably would have stopped listening to us a long time ago. So I think that's a safe bet there.
Yeah. Next takeaway: status quo versus survival. So, are you going to use today's convenience? Are you going to follow the status quo, or are you going to survive? Because trust me, if you go with the status quo, you know, you'll be drinking the wrong water, eating the wrong food, taking the wrong medicine, and all of a sudden you're going to have a pretty sad, compliant, robotic life, period. So you got to look at that and ask yourself, okay, is it status quo, or do I really want to survive and really be a divine light being? And so with that in mind, you're going to get a lot of ridicule. And so Johnny's takeaway number six is use ridicule as a tool. Because when I made these talks at the UFO conferences or the treatment centers, or I got ridiculed all the time. The doctors wanted to take my liver, and they said, you have 96% scar tissue. Oh, my God, you have 12 million viral loads. Your liver's shot. We got to have an organ transplant. You need a new liver. And I refused, and they called me delirious. That was the status quo. That was the ridicule. When I refused to do the liver transplant, my whole family said I was delirious. Oh, you know, my girlfriend was trying to find me at the time, and they called up my family. They say, oh, forget about him. He's a loser. If he doesn't die from hepatitis, he'll start doing coke again, and he'll die from that or one or the other. But 6 months, if that, he's going to be around. So he's already gone. So forget about him. So my girlfriend told me about this. I said, well, it figures, because they're pretty negative about me right now, you know. So, again, the ridicule I used as a tool. And I got my inspiration. One of my mentors was Bruce Lee. Another one was my dad, because my dad taught anatomy, physiology in Tulane, and his specialty was tropical diseases. And I learned a lot about physiology from my dad. And my grandmother was Swiss. So she not only had vegetables in her garden, but she raised herbs. And that's the way my dad grew up. So when I became a naturopath, my dad said, well, you know, it worked for my aunt and my grandmother. It probably worked for you. I said, look, Dad, I have no antibodies. I got rid of all my hepatitis. I don't even have any scar tissue. Look at this MRI.
That's crazy.
I said, the doctor said that was impossible. And my dad goes, oh, bull, they must have gone to LSU. Like this. And I said, Dad, why do you say that? And he says, well, there you just pay for your degree. You don't have to work for it. And then I'll make this really quick. I figured out what he meant, because in those days working with Ochsner got the cigarette warning put on the pack of cigarettes. That was one of his main guys, and of course the Ochsner Clinic and all that. Mm-hmm. But he, in 1940s and before 1940s, there was no medical school at Louisiana State University. But then when Ochsner came and said cigarettes are dangerous, could lead to cancer, and Tulane wouldn't comply, they couldn't get rid of Ochsner, all of a sudden Huey Long got all these millions, and they started their own medical school in Louisiana State University.
Of course,
right,
counterintelligence.
Right. So you could go to Louisiana State University, get a medical degree for $2,000, and it costs you $15,000 back in the 40s to get a degree,
wow,
a medical degree from Tulane. So that's why my dad said that, because these guys were breezing through med school, and my dad used to say, they don't know their fanny from first base, you know? And he was right. He was right, because the doctor said, I'll never be able to get rid of the hepatitis. I'll never get rid of the scar tissue. And I did. Next time you see me at the Blue Moon Festival, I'll show you, Blue Moon Expo, I'll show you my test and show you all that. But anyway, I just wanted to say that my whole goal is to become a pure, divine, light, spiritual being. And it has to start with your physical body. If you're not feeling well, Gandhi said it right. You will never pray if you're hungry. You will never pray if you're sick. You will never do your contemplation and meditation if you don't feel good. He was right.
Well, Johnny, just a huge database and source of wisdom there. Everything that you said with your takeaways is, if you could take everything that I've learned and that I teach and put it into two sentences, You've just done it along with your own little style and flair. So I really appreciate you sharing those. I'm sure you have a bunch more that I remember seeing more. And so we'll have to get you back on for another show, and maybe we can just talk about a whole, like a life and wellness episode, something like that, balanced wellness.
Whatever you want to do, Jordan, I just, you know, I'm here as a service to humanity, and if I get ridiculed, it's just going to make me stronger. The powers that be have tried to take me down so many times, and yet I give it back to, you know, God, the powers of the universe. Hopefully I'll still be around. I'm 63 years old, and, you know, I got my fingers crossed. I can help more and more people get that extra life and awareness that they thought they never had at any age. Just remember that. It's age has nothing to do with it. It's mineral balance has everything to do with your well-being.
Well, we appreciate you, and we're glad you're still here despite all the cabal efforts. And we hope to see you back here on the show again. And I hope to see you tomorrow and in the next coming days and stuff like that.
Can we say that I will be at the Blue Moon Expo in the Unity Church in Dallas on Preston Road this coming Sunday?
There you go.
I will be there.
Excellent. I actually might broadcast my show from there. I did the Tribal Roots show from their Serenity Cathedral, so that's something that we might do a repeat on. Johnny, we're out of time. I got to let you go. I really appreciate you. Thank you for all your time and your efforts and everything that you're doing, and I will talk to you when we get off the show, and we'll go from there. I really appreciate it. And Corey, I want to jump over to you and let you just finish up with any final thoughts that you have. First, I want to say this, though. There's a lot of people that try to put up shields against energy or energy vampirism or ridicule, like Johnny was talking about. I suggest this. Instead of putting up a shield, use it. Put up a filter around you that you can just put into place and never have to maintain, and all the nastiness comes in and filters and comes out as goodness into your body, into your soul, and feeds you. If that's too hard for you, then you can also do something called what I call an energy encryption. So basically, encrypt or put a carrier frequency, or just imagine another bubble that's or numbers that are swirling through your aura that encrypt your energy from being affected by others. So it's not necessarily a shield that you have to constantly maintain. It's an encryption that's always changing and going. Your frequency is shifting so that there can never be a lock on you energetically. Okay. So we got about 2 minutes left. I just want to kick this over to Corey. That being said, everything that the guest has said, what are your final thoughts?
Well, I definitely want to thank Johnny for coming on. Always appreciate having your input, and yeah, I learned some more today, and I just want to appreciate your work. Hopefully, I'll be able to get down to Texas and maybe check you out in person. You know, I kind of do this. I try to. In terms of food, for example, I'm pretty conscious about what I eat. If I'm getting into labels, if I'm getting into, you know, produced food, I check labels and things like that. But along the lines of what you're saying, like an encryption or a safeguard, you know, I just say, look, all of this stuff is made of basic elements. Any kind of natural compounds, man-made compounds, beneficial, detrimental, they're made of basic elements. And so
doing a little food alchemy there?
Yeah, I set my mind to, you know, I'm just going to break anything that comes in, gets broken down, and utilized properly. Mm. I don't know if that's chemically or biologically correct. But it's along the lines of what you're saying. You know, it's alchemically changing substances that get into the body, or alchemically changing energies that are thrown at you and so forth, transmute them into something beneficial.
Well, your nickname isn't the Great Hierophant for no reason. That's something that I know that you're good at doing, is alchemy and the study thereof. So thank you for that, Corey. I appreciate you, all your help with this shows, man. It's been, what, 8 months now? Well, excuse
yeah,
me.
Yeah, man.
12 months? We're coming
almost
up on a year.
February was? Yeah.
Okay, everybody pray that I don't die from arsenic poisoning. I don't think I will. I'm doing a lot of alchemy myself. I'll be detoxing. Guys, if he repeated his email address a couple times, play this back, or if you haven't written it down, go find him, jdelirious59111@yahoo.com. Go find him. Get a hair mineral analysis and see what you're being poisoned with or where you might be off balance. And take some action to correct it, because you just can't miss out on life, all right? You can't miss out on this life and all the learning that you could possibly have for those extra years, right? I know for me, for one, I'm really invested in sticking around for a little bit longer. And, you know, if not, then so be it. But let's hope that's not the case. So I love you guys. Love you, Corey. Thank you, Johnny. I love you, too. Listeners, we love you. Thank you very much for listening to another episode, and we'll see you next week. Our guest is going to be a well-known author in my circles. He's doing some secret books that he can't talk about, but there's some other stuff he's going to talk about.